Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the nation's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Nor is anyone, nor shall there ever be anyone like that again on this earth. This is our first time back in the studio since Bob departed to go home. And there is some chance that he's listening, although I kind of doubt it. Bob talked about doing a lot of things when he got to heaven. And listening to some idiot on the radio really wasn't in the top 1,500. He may get around to listening at some point, but I'm certain he's more than likely meeting many of the people he led to the Lord for the very first time. And for Bob, that will go on for quite some time. But we're glad to have you here if we all have to be here, and we do. We all have to be here for a relatively short period of time, a lot shorter than you think. So the day is far spent, and now is the time to awake from sleep and to walk in the light. And I want to thank God for Bob Enyart. In fact, I might have to wait till tomorrow to get to it. One of the many numerous articles published after Bob departed to go home by Westword. I may get to it, I may not. Then they quote a story they wrote about Bob in 1999 that was headlined, "Thank God for Bob." Of course, it was headlined sarcastically by a bunch of drug-addled heathens, but sometimes even drug-addled heathens stumble backwards into the truth. So I first heard Bob Enyart, and I think this is true. I don't know, because I realize now that we often remember what we want to remember rather than what actually happened. And so I'm not sure if this is 100% accurate if you were to investigate the dates and the times and the locations. I might have some of the dates and the times and the locations wrong. But I hope you get the gist of it. So I first heard Bob Enyart, if I'm not mistaken, driving down I-25 in Denver sometime between 1992 and 1994. And he was condemning sinners. I wrote in my notes he was warning sinners, but he wasn't really just warning sinners. He was condemning sinners with a sense of moral conviction that I don't know if I've ever heard before or since. And I knew he was talking to me as I was driving down I-25. I think it was dark. It seems like it was dark. I was in a relatively dark place at the time. Whether or not it was actually dark, I don't know. But Bob was warning sinners that if they didn't repent, they would die in their sins and go to hell. And he talked a little bit about the news of the day. Whatever the news of the day was, now that I don't remember. Because why? Because it's really not that important. What's important about the news of the day is what you tell someone else about it. And how you help them to understand God's place in it. That's what's important. And Bob was masterful at that. Taking a hodgepodge of relatively unimportant events about relatively unimportant people and finding a way to point the audience to Christ. And so I can't say this next part, so I have to go on to another part. So I'm staying in Denver. I live out of town now, so I'm staying in Denver with Bob's three of Bob's sons. And so I'm hanging out here at the studio for the first time since Bob departed to go home. And got some folks here, and we're going to do our best for all of you Real Science Radio listeners. We are going to do our best to try to uncover for you on Friday the announcement that Bob had made that there would be a prediction, possibly maybe a prediction having to do with the nature of light. And that's as far as I'll go because that's about as much as I understand. But I'm staying in town with Bob's three sons. Three of Bob's sons. His youngest sons, three single guys, three bachelors. And we've been talking about what might this experiment be that Bob had thought about. So hopefully on Friday, for Real Science Radio, Bob's suggestion regarding something having to do with photosynthesis and the wave-particle word triality will be revealed on Real Science Radio. But let me tell you about an experiment that we did at Bob's house with Bob's three youngest sons. We did an experiment unintentionally to test the physical limits of a dishwasher. That's what we did because we stayed there and we ate for several days until there were so many dishes that it simply became a necessity that the dishes had to be done. They simply had to be done because there were no more dishes. And so an experiment came into existence relatively unintentionally, and we tested the physical limits of a dishwasher, and there is a definable physical limit to the capacity of a dishwasher. I can assure you of that. That was discovered and delineated and defined I believe it was Saturday night. It might have been Friday night. But the dishwasher was filled to its ultimate capacity until some of the dishes had to be washed in the sink because the dishwasher experiment had concluded and revealed the fact that indeed there was a physical limit. And so I tell that story because I couldn't really say what I was about to say, so I'm trying to say something funny and relatively unimportant so that I can try to get to this next part. But I can see that even having interrupted myself with something relely unimportant and supercilious, that it's difficult to get to this next part and that I'm just going to have to try to say it. And if I have a little trouble, just listen more slowly. So I didn't just hear Bob condemning sinners, although that's what got my attention, because I knew that was directed at me. But what I heard that night on the radio, and then later on TV here in Denver, what I heard was a man speaking with a level of moral confidence that I was not familiar with. Or maybe I was familiar with the concept because I knew that it should exist, that a free man willingly submitting himself to the authority of Jesus Christ should be able to speak with some measure of moral authority. I understood that concept. And Bob personified it. Whatever flaws he had, and at Denver Bible Church this past Sunday, Bob's brother Brian preached the sermon. He doesn't like me to say that he preached a sermon because he doesn't think that's what it was, but it was. And amidst all of the appropriate praise for the blessings that Bob Enyart brought to all of our lives, Bob's brother mentioned the fact that Bob was a sinner. That Bob was a sinner just like you and me and just like him, said Brian, Bob's brother, from the pulpit. And I thought right in that moment, I couldn't help but think. I couldn't help but think that I'm certain that one thing Bob Enyart would have wanted mentioned upon his passing, as people lavished all the appropriate praise upon him, I am confident that one of the things Bob Enyart would have insisted that be mentioned was that he was a sinner. Just like you and me. And so I had a conversation with my wife after church. And I mentioned that, and she pointed out that Bob Enyart isn't a sinner anymore. Unlike you and me, and everyone listening, at this relatively unimportant time in history, to this relatively unimportant message, Bob Enyart is no longer a sinner. So that's what my wife pointed out as we were talking, and it was something that I hadn't really thought about until she said that. That reminded me that I owe my marriage and my children and whatever testimony I have in Christ to Bob Enyart. My only meaningful purpose on earth and the only legacy I leave on earth of any value may have never happened had I never heard Bob Enyart. Had I never met Bob Enyart. Had I never become Bob Enyart's best friend. And there's some debate about who Bob's best friend is, by the way. I heard that Fred Williams claims it's him. And then Dominic claims it. There's a lot of people who claim Bob Enyart was their best friend. I make that claim, and I think Bob was big enough. Probably he could share that claim with, oddly enough, almost everyone he ever met who submitted their lives to Jesus Christ. Probably count Bob Enyart as their best friend. So, when Bob started on the radio and then went to television, he did radio for a little while, then did television for a little while, and then back to radio for a little while because radio is so much better than television. Television is enormously shallow, if that's possible. Radio is much deeper. But when Bob was doing his radio show and his television show, one of the immediate concerns that he brought to every story that he covered and every comment that he made was that he wanted his message to be relevant 50 years from now. So last night, as I was lounging about Bob's house with his three youngest sons, we popped in a tape of Bob Enyart Live from 1995. Popped in a tape. For you millennials, that's a term from the 1980s or somewhere about. A term from 1995, maybe. So we popped in a tape of Bob Enyart Live from 1995. And Bob was talking about the efforts of the left in the media and in the government and in society to promote the idea of racial animus and tension. And it was relevant 25 years later. I hope it's not as relevant 50 years from now. I really hope it's not. But it really hit close to home last night. The idea that there are enemies of God who on a daily basis want to stoke the fires of racial animus and angst and animosity for their own gain, and that we should be on guard against the fleshly tendency to allow those animosities to be stoked by our enemies who are on the left, and they want us to hate each other and they want us to hurt each other so that they can manipulate us and take advantage of us and lead our children away from righteousness and Jesus Christ and the message of salvation in God. So Bob Enyart was sounding the alarm in every way possible 25 years ago, and his message was as relevant last night as it was in 1995 when he first made it. And watching that show reminded me, I was trying to track down when exactly I might have heard of Bob or seen Bob for the first time, and I realize now that I don't know. But I do remember at one point, Bob's television show was on in Denver at 10 p.m. And at some point, it moved to midnight. And that was a major event in my life because I like to watch Bob Enyart live, but I had to get up at like 5:30 and go to work. And so Bob's show going from 10 p.m. to midnight was a major event in my life. It was such a big event that I bought a giant satellite dish and I had it installed in my backyard so that I could download the feed directly from the satellite so that I could watch Bob Enyart and still get to work and be functional the next day. But I don't remember exactly what year that was, but I'm thinking it was 1995. So, what am I supposed to talk about now? Am I supposed to talk about the news of the day? Really? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? The news of the day? Maybe I'll go to this Westword article. And so, by the way, for those of you in the media who've taken notice of the fact that Bob Enyart has departed to go home, I think it's okay for you to point out the irony that Bob was ardently opposed to the medical tyranny and the constant atmosphere of fear being driven by the same aforementioned enemies of God, hell-bent on stoking anger and fear and animosity and dividing people from one another. I think it's okay to point out, well, now that I'm thinking through it for the first time, I don't think it's okay. Because here's the thing about Bob Enyart. He's been called an anti-vaxxer in a number of these stories, and I can assure you that Bob Enyart was not an anti-vaxxer. Bob Enyart would not take the particular vaccine that is in fashion now because of the moral confidence that I mentioned earlier that Bob Enyart had. See, a free man who submits his will to Jesus Christ has the moral confidence to make decisions that could even imperil his own life for the sake of those principles to which he has submitted himself willingly. And Jesus Christ said from the beginning, you shall not murder. And Bob Enyart's moral confidence was derived from Jesus Christ. And so Bob Enyart stood up often and loudly and said, you shall not murder. While innocent children were being murdered all around him every day in his own neighborhood. And he stood up against it and he went and he marched and he shouted and he cried and he wept and he cried out against it. And so when Bob was made aware of the undeniable fact that the current vaccination in fashion was either developed or tested on the bodies of the same murder victims that he had been advocating for the past 30 years, he decided he would not take the vaccine. Even though Bob believed in the science. People say follow the science. So they don't even know what science is. Bob Enyart knew what science was. I remember having a conversation with Bob in 2020 at some point during the present fashionable hysteria about Operation Warp Speed. And Bob was extraordinarily optimistic about the possibility and the potential that this new way of approaching a problem could revolutionize research. It could revolutionize medicine. It could revolutionize vaccines. He was extraordinarily optimistic. I was astonished at how optimistic he could be in light of the darkness that was closing in all around us. And it was uplifting to hear. So for those in the media who have dubbed Bob Enyart the anti-vax talk show host who died from COVID, I think it's okay to point out the irony in Bob Enyart having fought the state of Colorado to open his church without fear, without masks, without social distancing, without all of that, without all of the hysteria and the current fashionable panic. An emergency that's apparently never going to end. It ended at Bob's church sometime in 2020 when he defeated the aforementioned enemies of God, hell-bent on pitting us against each other and keeping us in fear and terror and submission to godless heathens. That ended at Denver Bible Church because Bob Enyart had the courage to stand up, knowing that it could, in fact, actually cost him his life. And so it was for most people, for most of us, I guess I should say, for most of us, it was more of an academic exercise. But for Bob, it was real. Actually putting his life on the line for what he believed in. It was actually real. And Bob was no stranger to that. He had been doing that for 30 years, putting himself in a place that could very likely, putting himself in a position that could very well cost him his life. He did that countless times. And so he was no stranger to that. And so I think it's okay for the media to point out the irony that he died of the virus that he refused to be afraid of anymore. That's okay. I think the only reason they point it out is because they're still afraid. And they're not ready to deal with the reality of putting yourself in a position that might cost you your life. And it's because they're not really the men that Bob Enyart was. But it's okay for them to write about him. They point out in the article that I'm reading, he was not vaccinated. And he was not. Even though he had a conversation less than 4 months ago with a member of his church, where he said that if he caught this virus, he probably wouldn't survive. So he knew the danger. He knew. But because of the principles to which he was enlightened by Jesus Christ, he decided to do right and risk the consequences. And the consequences in this case, were his life on this earth. He's alive right now. And he's no longer a sinner like you and I. And he sees things clearly now. Bob Enyart, if he looks down upon the earth, if he condescends to look down upon the earth, will see things clearly without any shadow of turning that we all have. We all have that because we're still here and we're still sinners. He's there and he's no longer burdened by any of that. And he's doing all the things, he's starting to do all the things that he talked about so many times. So many times we would be talking and in the middle of a conversation, he would stop and he would say, you know, When we get to the when we get to heaven, I want to, whatever, 1,000 things, 10,000 things over the last 30 years that Bob said he wanted to do in heaven. And he's starting to do them now. So the article in Westward points out that that Bob appeared on, should I even give him any air? No, I won't give him any air. He appeared on the network show on ABC on a number of occasions. And on one occasion, he had a chance, Bob Enyart, with some great help from Victoria Jackson, warned Larry Flint that one day he would stand before God and be judged unless he repented. And at the time this article was written, that was back in February, Larry Flint had just died. And so the authors at Westward pointed out that the day of Larry Flint's judgment had come. And the way the Westward authors write it is somewhat pejorative. They're kind of upset with Bob for warning Larry Flint that if he didn't repent, that his judgment was coming, that his day of judgment was coming. And what they didn't realize at Westward was that what Bob Enyart had just done was given Larry Flint his only chance to be saved from the extraordinary condemnation that he was due. Larry Flint was due an extraordinary level of condemnation. And Bob Enyart gave him an insight, even though Larry Flint, in my earthly view, me still being a sinner and not able to overcome my flesh all the time, I would say Larry Flint didn't deserve it. Larry Flint didn't deserve what Bob Enyart gave him, which was the key to Larry Flint saving himself from the extraordinary condemnation that he was due. And you know what we don't know? We don't know where Larry Flint is right now. But there's a chance that he's in heaven. And there's only that chance only exists because of Bob Enyart, one of the few people on earth who ever told Larry Flint how to escape the judgment that he was due. And Bob told all of us that, and we're thankful for it. And thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you, as Bob would, to do right and risk the consequences.
Have you heard of the Plot Manuscript? It's 330 pages, an overview of the entire Bible. People who have read it have said it's helped them understand and enjoy the Word of God. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. I wrote The Plot years ago. We sell it at a money-back guarantee, $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you don't feel that you really understand the Bible now, we want to give you your money back. So go online to order it at kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you'd like to hear more, then you could subscribe to our Bob Enyart Live Bible Studies, our monthly videos, our sermons. For the Bible Studies, you get an entire MP3 CD for $34.95 a month. Or you could get our videos or sermons every month mailed to you for just $24.95 a month. Subscribe online at kgov.com. So check us out on the web at kgov.com for Bob Enyart Live.